Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's New Year's Eve here on Sports Time Radio, and unfortunately, Dan was unable to make it, but don't worry, I got a replacement.
Start spreading the news.
Well, we all know what that means. Schomburg Stu's here. Stu, what's going on?
Hey, less than 7 hours to go. I'm pumped.
Yeah. Now, before I throw all the plugs and everything out there, will you be able to stay up?
It's going to be difficult but I've been staying up till past midnight recently watching old Seinfeld reruns that I hadn't seen before. Ooh. So maybe I could possibly do it again tonight.
All right. Well, if you want to call in and talk to Stu or I about your New Year plans or whatever else you got going on, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, just feel free to email them to us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you got over there yesterday to check out the new blog that went up. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu up there running on Twitter. Maybe one of these days he'll surprise us. But you can always reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward anything you would like to tell Stu, as long as, you know, to a certain extent, anything you'd like to tell Stu, I'll forward it along. Just keep it kind of clean. So, all right, well, kind of a slow sports day. I know I didn't realize the Bulls had an early game. I know there's some bowl games, but I'm not a huge college football guy. Did you check any of them out?
No, not really. I turned the game on when it first started, but I forgot who was playing. It was on CBS. Didn't really excite me all that much, so I've been doing a little reading today instead of watching college football.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I really like, and I just actually emailed you about it, I really enjoy watching Army run their triple option offense. You know, I can sit there and watch them because I think just because it's so different from what every other team does that I just get a kick out of watching them try to do it. So, but yeah other than that, I mean, the minute Army doesn't have the ball, I just change the channel. So.
I haven't seen that formation in a long, long time. I vaguely remember seeing it once or twice, but very rare.
Yeah, they, you know, I know they've done it for years now. That's been their offense for quite a while. And, you know, obviously they had a lot of success. I believe they were 9-2 this year. So it's worked out for them. And, you know, again, it's Army, so it's not like they're going to get, you know, the top recruits in the country to go there. So they, you know, they do with what fits for them. And, you know, again, it's been very successful for them. So that's, like I said, it was just enjoyable for me to watch, you know, instead of just watching some guy stand in the shotgun and throw the ball 60 times a game.
Are they more run-oriented because of that formation than passing?
Pretty much all they do is run. Yeah, I believe their quarterback throws less than 10 passes a game.
Well, that'll speed up the game then, for sure. There'll be much less timeouts, and the game's got to be over a lot quicker than a normal game.
Yeah, if Army puts together a 70, 80, or 90-yard drive on you, it's basically going to take the entire quarter. So their games move like you wouldn't believe. And maybe that's the other thing I enjoy is their games just go so much faster. But,
yeah,
hey, you know.
Yeah, all the timeouts, right? And now their schedule, You said they're 9-2, but has their schedule been that difficult?
I guess it depends on what you look at as difficult. You know, they play genuinely. They play the other academies. You know, Air Force and Navy and those kind of things. They generally will also play Notre Dame every year, but they didn't do that this year because of COVID-19. But you know, I mean, it's a decent schedule. You know, they played Tulsa, who ended up being a ranked team. But they did play Cincinnati, who again is a highly ranked team. So there were a couple tough games on their schedule, but nothing lights out. But, you know, I mean, that's college football in a nutshell, right? I mean, who plays a lights out schedule?
Yeah, especially not this year. Did they put up a decent game against Cincinnati?
I believe they did lose. Yeah, they ended up losing 24-10. So, yeah, they played pretty well against them. It was a fairly close game. So.
Now, Cincinnati is undefeated, correct?
I believe they did finish undefeated, and unfortunately for them, not even close to the top four where they probably should have been. But, you know, again, it's. That college football playoff is a complete joke. So,
yeah, it really was unfair, especially this year, and how they let Notre Dame slide into the top four. I still question that decision.
Well, you know, to be fair, they only lost one game. You know, I mean, you're talking about a team with one loss, and they lost to one of the better teams in the country. So, how much do you punish them? When a team like Texas A&M had, I believe they had two losses, you know, and I know one of theirs was to Alabama, so you're not going to kill them for that loss. But I don't know off the top of my head who their other loss was to. But, you know, and again, you know, as much as, you know, people are going to gripe because, you know, your favorite team didn't get in, or, you know, like I'm going to complain because Northwestern didn't get in, even though they lost Ohio State in the championship game. You know, it's a television show first and foremost, and they're going to give you the four teams that they think are going to get the best ratings regardless of what their records are. And it's just unfortunate.
I wouldn't have felt as bad if with Notre Dame getting into the top four if they hadn't been beaten so badly in their loss. If the game had been more competitive.
Well, you know, unfortunately, Clemson is a very good team, and they are definitely, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you when you throw Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State in, even though Ohio State didn't get to play too many games, and I can actually understand people complaining about that, you know, because they didn't play anywhere. I don't even think they played half a schedule, let alone a full one. So if you want to complain about something, have everybody complain about that. But
they only
want to
play six games, right?
I think they
only have six games.
Yeah.
Like you said,
so
half a schedule.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I get it. It's a weird year, and Ohio State is a very good team. So I honestly expect them to do pretty well in the playoff. I don't think they'll beat Clemson because I really think Clemson and Alabama are the best two teams. But, you know, you never know. These things happen, and maybe we'll get an upset.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, but anything is possible.
So, you know, you would think everybody would know I'm doing the podcast and not to call me, right? But it never fails. It's 2 days in a row I got a call while I've been doing the podcast. It's like, really?
Here's what you got to do. Before you call into the podcast, dial *70. I think it'll probably eliminate those calls. That's what I do.
Well, you know, for the longest time, I didn't have any problems. And just for some reason, these last 2 days. But, you know, enough about that. And we will get the first two playoff games tomorrow. Are they both on the Mickey Mouse Network, or is ABC carrying one? Do you know?
No, I haven't checked the schedule yet, but that'll be something to watch at least on New Year's Day.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how much of it I'll watch. I'll probably just kind of check in and see what the scores are, because it's not really going to hold my attention. I assume that Alabama is probably going to blow Notre Dame out, unfortunately for Notre Dame and their fans. And I think Clemson will beat Ohio State. I don't think it'll be easy, but I definitely think they'll beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a riveting game either. I think it'll be a fairly low-scoring game by today's college standards, and not all that exciting.
Yeah, let me see what we have here, actually. There are four bowl games tomorrow. The first one, they start at 11 o'clock. We get Georgia and Cincinnati. Cincinnati ended up ranked 8th, and Georgia ended up ranked 9th. But here you go, Stu, at noon on ABC, we get Auburn against Northwestern. So we can check that out.
Definitely, and I would imagine that Auburn's probably a slight favorite for the game, if not more.
You know, I thought maybe they were a little bit, but, you know, they're unranked, and I actually saw a lot of people picking Northwestern in this game, so that'll be interesting. And then we do have when the College Bowl starts, the playoff starts, it's the 3 o'clock game on the Mickey Mouse Network is Notre Dame and Alabama, and then the other game is at 7 o'clock. Also on the Mickey Mouse Network is Ohio State and Clemson. But here you go. There are tickets left. The site always tells me if there's tickets left. And for the Ohio State game, it says tickets as low as $542.
Well,
I don't think
bargain.
I'm paying that this game. So.
No. I do think that, although I think Notre Dame will lose, I think they'll put up a better contest, a better battle against Alabama than they did against Clemson.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Alabama's been dominant, so, but, you know, maybe. I mean, you never know how these things kind of end up working out. So it's definitely possible.
Well, I don't think anybody would be too surprised to see Alabama against Clemson for the championship.
No, you know, and that was, I think if you were paying attention, you knew that was going to be the deal all along. We were going to get, you know, they were going to give us the opportunity, I should say, to get Alabama and Clemson in some kind of championship. So, you know, we'll see how that works out or what they end up doing. But,
play. Championship, you expect it to be a shootout kind of contest, very high scoring?
Yeah, you know, I think so. With everything going on, there doesn't seem to be a lot of defense played this year in college football. So I assume we'll get a 40-something to 30-something type of game.
Which would at least make it more entertaining than not.
Yeah, you know, it makes it exciting for, you know, the, I don't know if you want to call them non-college football fans or how you want to look at it. You know, maybe not the hardcore fans enjoy that. So,
yeah,
you know, me,
quite a competitive championship game and high scoring, which will at least have my interest for most of the game, at least. Should those two teams meet in the finals? As expected.
Yeah, you know, otherwise it's an upset if they don't put up in there, because that's how it's been pretty much set up. And yeah, Alabama has easily been the best team in football this season, so for them not to get there would be a huge shock.
I haven't been all that enamored with Ohio State too. They kind of look like a more of a plotting type team to me this year than a more exciting team that they have in the past. Of course, years ago, the thought about Ohio State was their offense is 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But they've changed that over the years. But Right. And but this year they have not impressed me all that much.
No, well, you know, it's tough when you only play five or six games. You really can't get
right.
your...
True. That's a good point.
So, you know, and you do wonder if that'll hurt them, you know, especially now that they're really stepping up in competition. You know, Northwestern gave them a hell of a game.
They did.
And almost, you know, almost found a way to win it. So you got to wonder if moving up against, you know, a team like Clemson... You know, if they'll be able to kind of hang around, or if they'll be ready to, you know, to jump into that.
Yeah, well, they should be stronger than Clemson in terms of the fact they've only played six games, and maybe that could possibly help them.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, sometimes you need those reps, and you know, you wonder if it'll help them or if it'll hurt them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it should be interesting, and although I don't see them winning that game.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to end up in any position. I think Clemson is probably going to end up winning that game by double digits. So.
Yeah, that would be the most likely scenario.
You know, yeah, I would kind of be surprised if they. If Ohio State managed to hang around and give them that much of a game, but you know, again, you never know. I mean, odd things happen.
Well,
you know,
it's been a very strange season. It's a very difficult to really pinpoint with great accuracy who's going to win the games because of the strange year that we've had, and of course, but the old cliche about cream rising to the top. You got Alabama, you got Clemson. And no matter how the year has gone, they're still going to be awfully strong and hard to beat.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, how it kind of worked out. And again, you know, this is what the committee wanted to see again. You know, and I'll say it again. I get that people are upset that Notre Dame didn't drop out of the top four, or you could tell even some of the college coaches were a little upset with Ohio State getting in. You know, Dabo Sweeney, who's the Clemson coach, ranked them 11th in his final poll. And even Nick Saban at Auburn had Ohio State ranked outside the top four. So that, you know, that, I don't know if it'll be a, you know, a motivational thing for them or what it'll be, but you know, it's definitely something there.
Yeah, I'm sure Cincinnati and what Texas A&M and some of the other teams are not happy about the Final Four selection.
No, you know, and I can kind of understand it. You know, I mean, you wanna see your team get in, but I mean, honestly, you know, what's Cincinnati football gonna do in, you know, the ratings? You know, they're
true.
Nobody's gonna really tune in to watch. You know, and I mean, like, you know, like you asked how they, you know, how you know, who Army played. Cincinnati didn't really play anybody of note. They did beat Tulsa in their final game, but it was only by 3 points. So,
yeah, I get the impression that if Cincinnati somehow was selected in the top four, they would have been blown out pretty handily.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking here. Their last two games, they actually won both of them by 3 points. It was Tulsa and then the University of Central Florida. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, we're looking at teams like they beat Eastern Carolina, South Florida, Austin Peay. So they, you know, they don't have a great resume, so to speak, when it comes to, you know, who they beat.
Yeah, the only one I still, because of the way they lost their game against Clemson, I still think that they should have selected another team in the top four.
Yeah, you know, I think the problem was there's just nobody there to put in. You know, I mean, maybe if Cincinnati was higher rated going into that last week. They could have jumped in. But, you know, when you look, even like Texas A&M, you know, I know they lost to Alabama, but who else? You know, like when they lost to Alabama, they got blown out 52-24.
Right. That's
so, you know, not exactly a stellar game. They did get by Florida by 3 points. And I'm looking, I thought they lost the second game here. But maybe, oh no, I guess they only do have one loss. But besides Alabama, you know, Florida is a pretty good team, you know, but they had their kind of ups and downs. But, you know, they didn't beat anybody either. So.
Yeah, years ago there was always that motivational factor in when a team is not regarded all that highly, and then they'll use that as a motivating factor to come in and upset their opponent. And I'm wondering if maybe Notre Dame, after being blown out by Clemson, will use that as a rallying cry and give Alabama a tough battle.
You know, I actually heard somebody saying that this morning, that they think Notre Dame will step up and play much better than they did against Clemson.
Yeah, I'm thinking it'll be a more competitive game, but I don't see them winning. But good luck.
So, yeah, and, you know, again, you never know. You know, weird things happen.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
You know, if just something goes your way or something else happens, it could possibly work out for you.
Well, they can gather up the spirit of Newt Rockne and George Chipper, the Jip. Always talk about those guys when they have a big game coming up and use that to pump them and come up with a huge upset.
All right, well, here you go. I found some stuff for you. Northwestern is actually a 3.5-point favorite tomorrow. Clemson is a 7.5-point favorite, and Alabama is a 19.5-point favorite tomorrow.
Wow. Well, I'd like to take those points for Alabama. It's a lot of points in a top game like that to give away to your opponent.
Yeah, and then the other game, if you're going to bet that first game, Georgia is a 7.5-point favorite over Cincinnati. So,
well, if Cincinnati the upset, then they could maybe use that as justification for saying they should have been ranked much higher than they were. Let's see them beat
and
Georgia
they will.
Though, first.
I
wouldn't be surprised if they can pull off an upset and beat Georgia, but I guess it's not very likely. That's a big spread against a top 10 team, big point spread.
Yeah, I'm surprised how, you know, like I'm surprised that Cincinnati's a 7.5-point underdog, being that they're undefeated. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
Well, it's hard to go against the odds makers, though. Those guys, for the most part, know their stuff.
No, yeah, obviously, you know, that's why they have the jobs they have. I mean, the house always wins. So
yeah, that's what they tell you. And more often than not, they are correct.
You know, unfortunately, I don't have the kind of money to throw around. Otherwise, maybe I would, you know, bet on Northwestern. So,
well, that'll probably be a very close game, at least when Northwestern plays Auburn, because I don't think they're the kind of team that can blow an opponent away. They're not that good.
Yeah, no, definitely. They're not that kind of team, unless it's a really bad team. So,
well, Auburn usually has a pretty respectable football team.
Yeah, pretty much. I know they haven't had a great year this year, so. But yeah, we'll like I said, at least like you said, it'll give me, you know, something to watch tomorrow at noon when
right.
the game
always
kicks off.
Always fun to watch Northwestern. Always fun to watch Northwestern.
Like I said, besides good old college football, we did have, there were one NBA game is already in the books. Indiana beat Cleveland by 20, and the Bulls are actually up 3 going into halftime. We have the 76ers and the Magic getting ready to start in about 5 minutes. They're on NBA TV tonight, if you have that. And then we have Sacramento at Houston. The Knicks are at Toronto. New Orleans at Oklahoma City. And then it's a doubleheader night on NBA TV as Phoenix at Utah wraps up the night. So if you want to watch some NBA, you can find that.
With all those games you mentioned, do you find any one of them intriguing? Because I don't.
I wouldn't mind seeing Phoenix because of the changes they made this offseason. How I am. I'm not a huge NBA guy. I believe Orlando is still undefeated, so it might be interesting to take a look at them against the 76ers. Who were expected to be, one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference.
Well, I'm predicting that Orlando's winning streak comes to an end tonight.
Uh-oh. All right. Write that down, folks. Orlando's 4-0, Philadelphia's 3-1. So it's a good matchup there.
Yeah. Anybody listening, by the way, don't take my predictions too seriously because you know how well I've done in the past.
So, yeah, you gotta be careful, when you make those wagers. It's hard-earned money. You don't want to lose that stuff.
Yeah, so, that's right.
I caught this odd story, and I was trying to figure out how the NBA was going to do this. And I don't know if you saw this, but they say they are going to require players to wear sensors as part of contact tracing, excuse me. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure. Does that mean they're going to be able to track where the players go?
And what, I mean, even if they go to a party and they wear a mask and – is the sensor going to track them doing that too? I'm not clear as to what it's supposed to accomplish.
Here's what it says. It says that they will be required to wear the sensor device on the team plane, the team bus, during practices and to and from the arena or their home practice facility in connection with team travel. So, yeah, it looks like they're going to be able to track their movements a la, a spy movie or something.
Well, it sounds like they're just tracking their movements to and from the training facility and the arenas. What about when they have a day off? They're not playing for a couple of days. Is the sensor still going to track their activities then?
Well, they would still have practice, so they would have to come to the practice facility.
Yep.
So you would think it would.
Well, the question that comes to my mind is, where are these sensors going to be located?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering is, how big are they? Where are you going to put them? Any of that kind of... And what does it say? They won't have to wear them during games, so they won't have to, I guess there won't be any damage. But now it does say here that the sensors do not record GPS location. So I guess maybe they won't be able to see where they go. It said it will activate when coming within close proximity, which is defined as 6 feet to another person wearing one.
Is that the intention? Is that the whole purpose of it, to make sure they're within the parameters of 6 feet and social distancing?
Yeah, it seems like they're just going to try to enforce social distancing with the players. The players' union agreed to this, so we can't get too many complaints from the – well, we probably will get a lot of complaints from the players, but, you know, it just kind of – well, that's not our fault that their union agreed to it, so.
Yeah. Now, just like one of those electronic monitoring things that prisoners who have been paroled have to use?
Yeah, I can't see it being an ankle bracelet. That would be kind of cumbersome to have to deal with. But yeah, they don't really describe it as to what it was. They do say that the NFL has used these sensors during the season. So.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, here you go. It's wristband or another wearable is what it looks like. And it says the players must wear sensors in the waistband in the front of their shorts during practice.
Yeah, that they agreed upon it, but I don't like the sound of it myself. I mean, I think it's a little bit, they're going a little too far.
Yeah, it almost sounds Orwellian, doesn't it?
It does.
I guess with
it does.
Yeah,
Shades of 1984, the famous novel by George Orwell, and that's what it sounds like to me too.
Yeah, it looks like, and I'm guessing I'm going to pronounce this right. It looks like that they also have the opportunity to wear what they call a lanyard, which is a quarter of strap that you can wear around your neck, shoulder, or wrist.
Yeah. You pronounced it properly.
Oh, okay.
You did pronounce it properly.
But, yeah, so maybe they'll players can wear it like that. But, yeah, even so, it still sounds very... very, very cumbersome or not so much cumbersome, but intrusive would be a better word.
Yeah. Hey, it would have been worse if they had to put an implant under their skin somewhere.
Yeah. Well, at first, that's what, when I saw sensor, that was the first thing that came to mind was, what, are they going to chip all these guys?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I don't think the players would be too happy about that being done to them.
No, I couldn't. You know, how would, you know, who would agree to that? I can't see anybody agreeing to that.
Now, but are they actually going to have to wear these sensors during the game? Or do they take them
off?
No,
it says
they
don't. Yeah, no, not during games, just during practices and the other things that I mentioned before.
Yeah, if they wore it during the game, how would they call a foul if an opponent actually hit their sensor? Would that be considered a flagrant?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that, as you say, it does sound Aurelian to me also, and it doesn't sit well with me at all. But if they agree to it, I guess it can't be all that bad.
Yeah, and, you know, as much as I hate to say it, when it comes to the NBA guys, I think they're probably the most notorious league when it starts to, when it comes to partying. So, or at least they have the reputation of it.
They do have the reputation of partying hardy, that's for sure.
So,
of course, a few guys are pretty straight-laced and didn't do much in the way of parties, like Dennis Rodman. He was always pretty chaste about that, right? He never did too much in the way of partying, but he was the exception.
Yeah, you know, there are a few that, you know, make our, you know, good, you know, I shouldn't say good guys because it's not like they're, all of them are bad guys, but yeah, you know, there are a few that don't go to the strip clubs to get wings or whatever they do there. So, you know, you can't lump them all in one big pile, but
no.
There are, you know, I've seen enough just with James Harden this year to know that they're all not straight laced and going right home after practice.
No. And, yeah, you haven't heard much now about the Harden situation. I guess that's died down a little bit.
Yeah, I did see somebody who's under the impression that the blockbuster trade is just days away, but I think that was kind of just somebody who needed to get an article out before his editor killed him. So,
and is it still speculating that it's going to be Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Nets, or?
Well, you know, he gave them two choices. He said they could trade him to Brooklyn or they could trade him to Philadelphia. So not exactly a wide-open field.
Yeah, if the deal is consummated, it'll be interesting to see what they get in return.
The difficult part with, you know, him going to Brooklyn is, you know, Houston wants a young star in return that they can build around. Well, Brooklyn doesn't have that. And then they want multiple first-round draft picks, which is no problem. Teams give them away like water anyways. But, if they're looking for a young star, I mean, there's just nobody on Brooklyn that fits that bill to where they can go, oh, yeah, we'll give you this guy and you can build around this guy. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Therefore, you're saying that by process of elimination, that leaves the 76ers at the only logical trade choice.
Yeah, well, you know, with the NBA, they can always make, you know, like a three-team deal. You know, if you get another team involved where, you know, a young player could go to Houston with a boatload of draft picks, and then Harden could go to the Nets, and then the Nets could send somebody to the third team, or multiple somebodies to the third team. So, but yeah, unless Houston gives in, it's not going to be an easy trade.
Well, he obviously has a lot of talent, but if I were a GM, I would be kind of questioning whether it would be in a team's best interest to acquire him.
Yeah, well, you know, the one advantage he has is Daryl Morey is now the 76ers GM, and he was the guy who was running the Rockets when they got Harden, and, you know, they did the small ball thing last year. That was all a Daryl Morey concoction. So he has a window there where he can, you know, possibly get in there, but yeah, other than that, I don't know why. You know, I don't know why another team would want him.
Yeah. Is there any other sport in which a top ball player can request a trade to maybe four or five teams only? Maybe it's been done in baseball a little bit, I guess, right?
Well, you know, generally in baseball, it's written right into the contract.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, the NBA is really, well, you know, it's a players league. So the players pretty much do what they want. And yeah, you know, when you want to go, you say, hey, I want to go here. Send me here or else.
Yeah. You don't see it too much you never see it virtually in hockey. And
no,
I guess pretty seldom
God, no.
In football. I don't know if it has it happened at all. Maybe once or twice in football, very seldom.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure we do get it, but yeah, with as little as it happens, I just don't think we notice it that much.
Yeah, maybe the facts are not really disclosed. But as you pointed out, basketball, the NBA being a players' league, it'll happen a lot more frequently there.
Yeah, you know, they definitely don't have an issue with, you know, telling a team what to do. I think even Harden has realized that this is going to be a difficult situation. Otherwise, he might be sitting out.
If a player sits out, do they still get paid?
You know, I don't know how it works out. You know, I think if they sit out by choice, they don't get paid.
That would be
the only fair
situation to me. If they choose to sit out, they should not get paid. But
yeah,
as you keep pointing out, and correctly so, it's a players' league, and boy, they get away with a lot, don't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's definitely a different kind of league there. So
yeah, I see where LeBron controls the league for the last few years without any problem whatsoever, getting what he wants, what team he wants to go to, and who the team will acquire, and everything else.
Yeah, it's a tad strange that, you know, he actually has that power where he can say, hey, I want this guy on my team, and it happens. You know, that, and again, that's part of the whole thing where I just kind of honestly believe the league is fixed, you know, because he just, you know, he wanted more time at the All-Star break, so they gave him more time.
Yeah.
Like, you guys don't play every day. You know, you can't, you know, like they were complaining because, you know, oh, well, the season is starting so fast, we need more time off. From what? What were you doing?
Did he do the same thing 5 years ago, or you think it's age-related? I'm not really sure.
Once he left Miami and went back to Cleveland was when everything really took off with him, and he started to become very demanding and, you know, trying to be authoritative. So, you know, because, like, he buried that franchise. You know, he had them go out and acquire a bunch of veterans, you know, and then he got all his friends paid who were there, and not, you know, then he left. Now look at the team. You know, they're probably – yeah, they're, I mean, they're terrible.
They may be worse than the Bulls.
Yeah. So, it, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, yeah, you won your championship, so you can hang that on your mantle. You know, kind of like the same thing the Ricketts are doing with the Cubs. We're going to hear, well, we won the World Series in 2016, but we haven't won anything since. You know, so we'll always have that, but you look at the Cavaliers now, and they're years away from being any type of contender, if ever again.
Yeah, the next 5 to 10 years don't look very promising for them.
You know, because if you can't land that one guy, you know, who can get other guys to want to come play with him, you can't win in the NBA, you know, because you need two or even three stars to really put your team together. And, you know, that's what the Bucks are finding out. You know, they have Antetokounmpo, who's probably the best player in the NBA. But for whatever, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they can't afford it. But they can't get anybody to come play with him.
No,
you know, so while that, you know, that works in the East, and they can win the Eastern Conference or win, you know, get in the, you know, be the best team in the Eastern Conference during the regular season, it's going to catch up to you in the playoffs.
Yeah, you do need a strong, and I'll use a term that has been bandied about, you do need a strong supporting cast if you want your team to be a legit contender in the NBA.
Right. You know what I mean? Because if you look at it, I mean, you know, even Michael Jordan didn't win it alone.
No.
You know,
people,
I mean,
forget
you can,
how
you can
the
look
team was around him.
Right, you know, and I know people seem to forget that Hakeem Olajuwon had Clyde Drexler. You know, you don't hear much said about Clyde too much when they won those titles, but he was there.
Yeah, they wouldn't have won it without him. Clyde the guy was a hell of a player.
So, yeah, you know, and it's how the NBA is now. And, you know, if you have that guy, and I assume New Orleans may be the team on the up and up, because I think there are going to be guys that are going to want to go play with Zion Williamson. So, you know, they may have a shot if he's a good recruiter. You know, unlike Derrick Rose, if you remember when Derrick Rose was here, he flat out said he wasn't going to recruit players to come to Chicago.
Exactly.
So,
right. And has Williamson made all that much of an impact so far in New Orleans? I know he's
hurt. He was hurt last year. So he's, you know, and they're being very, very careful with him. And, you know, the regular season means so little in the NBA that, you know, I really think they just got to get into the playoffs. I know they're 2-2 right now. And let me see if I got a stat line here. Yeah, he's averaging 30, almost 34 minutes a game, 21.3 points and 9.3 rebounds. So he's got good numbers.
Yeah, he does. He does. And we'll see it'll be interesting to see down the line this season what kind of an impact he'll really have on the team if he stays healthy. I'm hoping he stays healthy. And maybe he can assert himself a little bit.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how or if or whatever it works out, you know, guys want to go play with him. But you look around, you know, you look around the league and there really aren't too many of those guys, you know. I'm really surprised that more guys don't want to go to the Warriors like Kevin Durant did. But, you know, it didn't really happen this offseason.
No, and they certainly don't look like a team that's on the rise to me. They look quite mediocre so far, despite the fact they have a lot of talent in that team.
You know, I was really surprised at how bad they looked against Brooklyn to start the year. And I know they've won a couple games in a row now. You know, those first two games were stinkers. But, you know, they didn't look great against the Bulls, even though they won the game. And I don't remember what their last game was, but they did get a win. But, you know, you look at it, and obviously, you know, Steph Curry's there. And I know Draymond Green has been hurt, and that really causes issues for him. So maybe he'll come back healthy. But, you know, Kelly Oubre has struggled. And, you know, Andrew Wiggins never really developed like I think a lot of people thought he would. And I thought going to Golden State would be great for him with a little more wide-open offense, but so far it hasn't worked for those two guys. And, you know, maybe it will. We're only four games into a season, so who knows?
Yeah, I thought Wiggins was the real deal, but, it's early in the season. He could still blossom, but he hasn't done the job as effectively as everybody thought he was going to do.
You know, and I know he is averaging 17.8 points a game, but that was because I believe he had a 29 or a 30 pointer in his last effort. So that really jumps up the average this early in the season.
Yep,
so we got to see how that works out. But, you know, it looks like they made a smart draft pick. You know, they took that James Wiseman, who, you know, being a 7-footer didn't look like he would fit with them, but he's given them good numbers as a rookie. So, maybe once Draymond Green gets back, they look a little bit more like the Warriors. But, you know, and then obviously losing Klay Thompson kills you, you know, again.
Yep. But they don't look to me like a top 5 or 6 seed. But I've been proven wrong before. But it'll be interesting to see how they...
I do wonder... You know, I wonder as the year goes on and they, you know, gel a little more, do you think they could get back to, you know, maybe being a contender?
I don't think so just yet, but maybe top 5, top 6 maybe. Don't forget the West is pretty strong, the Western Conference.
Yeah, you know, it will be, you know, it'll be interesting. So, and I did see, switching up sports here real quick, that Canada actually approved the NHL to open training camps. Now, interestingly, they did not give approval to play games, but they did. I believe there's 5 provinces that have NHL franchises. And, they have to give approval for games to be played between Canadian teams. So it's going to, you know, like, it's getting close. You know, the NHL wants to start January 13th. So we're coming up right down to the wire here with if we're going to have hockey in Canada, which would be weird if we didn't.
Yeah, it's only a couple of weeks away, and logistically you think that that's not going to be easy to resolve it all that quickly. You only have 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah, you know, and I know they, you know, I think they did officially realign the divisions, didn't they? So Canada would just play the majority of their games against Canada, I think, is how they're going to do it, since
yeah,
they can't
seen
really.
I haven't seen the new alignment yet. Has that alignment been made official?
You know, I thought I saw it the other day for this year on how they were going to do it, and for the life of me, I can't remember, but I thought they had made that official. So
yeah, I'll have to check and look at what the conferences are going to look like now.
Yeah, let me see. They have a division thing here. Let's see how they have it broken down. Who's in? No, that's not going to help me. This is some kind of poll. I don't need to see that. Oh, well. But, yeah, I thought for sure they had it set up where it was, you know, the Canadian teams were just going to play the Canadian teams. So.
Well, don't forget there's only five Canadian teams, like you said, so they can't just keep competing against each other.
Yeah, seven teams total, seven Canadian teams total. So.
Yeah, I was thinking Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto. I'm trying to think of the other two.
Did you say Edmonton? Yeah, you said Edmonton. Winnipeg
right.
And Ottawa.
Oh, that's right. That's right, Winnipeg and Ottawa.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, it looks like that's how it's going to start. Like, they have opening night. Humorously, there are three games on the NBC Sports Network, and the Blackhawks are the middle game. But the other two games on the schedule that night has Vancouver at Edmonton and Montreal at Toronto. But everything is still to be determined with those games because they have to wait for approval from the Canadian government.
Yeah. Well, Montreal and Toronto, that's old school. One of the six original teams.
Yes, which will, you know, if when they do play the game, we'll hear that over and over again in the
right,
broadcast.
Right. They won't forget to mention that, that's for sure.
Right, they just continue to bring it up. Then when you see highlights of it, they will mention it again. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if either team is going to be a factor in the this season. I know Montreal has been disappointing the last few years.
Yeah, who knows? But before we run out of time here, you know, I know Dan and I spent a couple days talking about it, but I figured I'd give you some time to get your take and tell us what the hell is going on with the Cubs.
Well, talk about a rebuilding mode. It's very discouraging, and they certainly did not get much of equal value in return for trading Darvish. They got a decent pitcher in Davies, but these other prospects are years away, maybe 2024 at the earliest, would you say? None of them look like they have much power. They all look like the old cliche Punch and Judy hitters, so I'm not sure. And the latest rumor, of course, is that they're shopping Contreras. So if they do that, who's going to be the starting catcher?
But remember, Jed denied that yesterday, that they're shopping Contreras. And you know, with the Darvish deal, you know what they got out of the deal is they dumped the money because they're only responsible for about $9 million left on the contract.
And what are they going to do with that money? The money they saved, nothing.
Ricketts are going to keep it. They're in the tank from doing all the improvements and everything around the ballpark.
Well, it's hard to believe that a team that strong that won the World Series of 2016 has been decimated as badly as they've been. And are they going to – they're lucky, of course, that they're in the NL Central. So are they going to, battle it out with Pittsburgh this season for the last place – for fourth place?
Well, you know, they might, depending on what else. Well, remember, you know, Cincinnati is in the process of trying to dump their entire starting rotation. So it may be it may be the Reds and the Cubs at the bottom of the division looking up at the Pirates.
So right now it looks like St. Louis is in the driver's seat, and maybe Milwaukee might give them a little competition, but I would have to think that the Cardinals at this stage are the definite favorites to win the NL Central in 2021. And they're not a super powerhouse team by any stretch of the imagination either.
Yeah, no, I think if you had to pick it right now, yeah, you would have to put the Cardinals on top. But, yeah, it may be the weakest division in baseball, top to bottom.
Yeah, without question. And then how do the loyal Cub fans, myself included, think about this transaction and all the things that are going on? They can't be too happy about it.
No, well, that's what I'm wondering. That's why I was asking you this, you know, because if you look at it, you know, you've got Rizzo in the last year of his deal, Bryant's in his last year of arbitration, and so is Javi Baez. Will they be traded, or will they be allowed to leave in free agency, and then, what, we win 70 games in 2021?
Well, I shudder to think about it because I've gone through that most of the time I've been a Cub fan since 1947 on. I've seen more losers than winners, a lot more losers than winners. But I've never seen a team tank as badly as this one. It's deteriorated as quickly. Of course, I do remember the 1969 team. They were good in 67, 68, 69, and maybe even 70, and then they went to rock bottom. So it has happened before, but this time you've got a ownership group that has a lot of money at their disposal, and you would think they would be able to do something about this so that it didn't happen.
Yeah, allegedly has a lot of money. I'm beginning to wonder about that.
Yeah, maybe they've overextended themselves with the hotels and the different things going up around the ballpark and the various money they spent, and now they launched a new network, which the new network can't be very happy about the downfall of the Cubs because their ratings could possibly be in the tank for 2021 when you have a contending team on the south side of town.
So yeah, you know, and that's the other odd thing is, you know, the networks generally bring you in more money. Now I get it; they couldn't have fans in the stands, but you know, this is a big market team, but yet they act like they're small market. I can't figure that out. You got any reasoning for it?
I question what's been going on. This is really inconceivable. And I'm wondering, by the way, your quick thoughts before we leave. Did Len Casper have some kind of an idea this purge is going to take place, and that's why he wanted to shift over to the south side of town?
You know, I guess it's possible, or maybe they were trying to go cheap and didn't want to pay him or wanted him to take a pay cut. So he moved, you know, he just took a better deal. If you're going to chip off your players, why the hell would you keep an announcer?
Yeah, exactly right. And, boy, they are really cleaning house, and I'm afraid we have some sad times to look forward to on the north side of Chicago for the next few years.
All right. Well, unfortunately, it's time for Stu and I to take off. Remember, podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want.